Thank you, David, and thank you all for coming in here today. I wanted to talk to you today about the medical screenings conventional munition workers from the Iowa Army Ammunition Plant in Iowa, in Burlington, Iowa. Medical screenings for health effects of exposure to beryllium. This project started in 2005, and the primary goals were to determine the prevalence of beryllium sensitization and chronic beryllium disease in this workforce and assess the risk with particular job titles and job classifications that may have been associated with a higher risk of exposure to beryllium. Iowa Army Ammunition Plant's been operational since early 1940s, primarily as a conventional munitions loading, assembly, and packing facility for the Department of the Army, currently Department of Defense. For almost three decades, nuclear weapons were assembled on site, and it was actually the results of DOE medical screenings of that workforce that raised concern for health effects of beryllium exposure on the Army side as well. Beryllium is a metal virtually used by every industry out there. You'll find beryllium parts in cars, airplanes, space shuttles, space telescopes, but also in medical and electronics equipment. Its neutron reflector properties have been used in the manufacture of nuclear weapons, while non-sparking properties have been particularly desirable for making of tools later used in making of any sorts of weapons. It is estimated that over 18,000 of current DoD contractor workers may be potentially exposed to beryllium, and DoD has no surveillance protocol in place for these workers. But beryllium also has a darker side. Exposure to airborne beryllium dust has been associated with sensitization to beryllium, an asymptomatic immune-mediated phenomenon with a suggested genetic predilection. It's not a very common, sensitization is not very common. It affects on average up to 4% of the exposed workforce. However, there have been reports of much higher prevalence, especially in workers processing beryllium metals and oxides. What's really important about beryllium sensitization is that it carries a risk of progression to a chronic beryllium disease, which is a lung disease with granulomas and eventual replacing of the healthy lung tissue with a scar. A progression from sensitization to chronic beryllium disease is estimated at 6 to 8% per year. Finally, beryllium's been linked to lung cancer. Lung cancer, and is currently considered the category 1 carcinogen by International Agency for Research on Cancer. Oops. There was an estimated 33,500 workers employed in conventional munitions on site between 1948 and 2002. These estimates were based on subcontractors' personal records, and these records included also information on employment dates and job codes. These job codes helped us distinguish between DOE and DOD employment on site, and all DOE workers were eventually excluded from the cohort based on the assumption that they may have been exposed to additional sources of beryllium. Estimating exposure for the study was a really challenging task, as there was no industrial hygiene monitoring data available. Instead, we used interviews with former production, trade, and health and safety workers to help us determine the potential of exposure on site, and also find out which processes and jobs were associated with the highest risk of exposure. Workers told us that the only identifiable source of exposure on site was occasional redressing of copper 2% beryllium alloy tools done by a small group of millwrights, machinists, and tool and die workers from one location on site off the production line. This information was later confirmed by our beryllium surface contamination survey, which found samples from that shop to be elevated over the DOE housekeeping level. We used all that information to update our job exposure matrix, which allowed us to assess exposure for every job on site, taking into consideration frequency and proximity to identified beryllium sources. So this was our job exposure category. Category zero workers were for the most part administrative and office support workers. Category one were production workers who may have worked with tools but did not grind or resurface them. And category two workers were millwrights, tool and die workers, and machinists that I've mentioned before. For the risk analysis in this study, we assigned each worker a highest exposure category they ever worked in on site based on job codes and their personal records. So participants were predominantly self-selected for the study following an intensive media campaign. We actually actively pursued this highest exposed group because of the concerns of a small sample size of this group. Beryllium, at the screenings, workers' blood was drawn and sent as a split beryllium lymphocyte proliferation test with all non-normal results repeated immediately to obtain a confirmatory result or a valid result in the first place. We defined beryllium as a confirmed, as a double abnormal or one abnormal and one borderline result, which is consistent with the current consensus in the literature. All those beryllium-sensitized workers were eventually offered clinical evaluation for chronic beryllium disease with University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics with lung function testing and high-resolution CT scan. And the choice of invasive testing was based on the results of the PFTs and CTs. So we found eight cases of sensitization and confirmed our initial hypothesis that those highest exposed workers had the highest prevalence of sensitization. They also had an almost threefold increase in risk compared to production, compared to administrative workers and production workers combined, but this association was not significant. Looking at all the other characteristics of this workforce, we did not find statistical significant results with any of the other covariates in the study except for gender. The use of systemic immunosuppressants suggested a protective effect, as it is reported in the literature. However, the result was again not statistically significant. The algorithm for multivariate logistic regression did not converge, and we did not generate logistic regression models in this study. All of our workers were offered, all of our sensitized workers were offered clinical evaluation for sensitization. Two of them declined. Of all those evaluated, there were no cases of abnormal spirometry. This one worker with a slightly lower ratio was tested pre-bronchodilator, and we didn't find evidence of chronic beryllium disease on CAT scans, and the multiple mediastinal and hilar lymph nodes, which is a hallmark of chronic beryllium disease in older medical textbooks, appeared to be related to viral syndrome on the subsequent follow-up of this worker. So in summary, we found a low rate of sensitization in conventional munitions workers from this site with overall low exposure potential to beryllium. We did find increase in the prevalence and risk of sensitization in workers with jobs that were associated with higher exposure potential, and although non-significant, most likely due to insufficient power, these results were consistent with statistically significant findings from our Department of Energy study from the same site recently published by the American Journal of Industrial Medicine. We also did not find any cases of chronic beryllium disease based on the pulmonary function testing and high-resolution CAT scans. However, our protocol was not as sensitive as the standard care protocol recommended by National Jewish and University of Pennsylvania. Thank you.
Any questions? classify them by job category in the highest category, but across all the categories, you had such a small number of people. Did you do any case follow-up on them to try to see whether they had individual exposure histories that might explain that?
We didn't really look at their individual exposure categories. We did look at their overall exposure experience on site. And I believe, I don't have that table in here, but I believe two of them were only the highest exposed workers in this study. So we did not look at the individual exposure experience as such.
Questions on this? Yeah, I'm also interested in the small sample size problem that you have here. And I guess the obvious questions are, is there any opportunity to, one, enroll any further cases to increase the number, you know, the case size? And also you took, have you thought about other approaches to the analysis that may be a case-based approach? And finally, exact methods in your statistical analysis versus asymptotic methods. So.
Well, this study is done, therefore there is no really potential for screening more workers, and this is the only approach that we have done so far. But these are excellent comments, excellent suggestions, so we may look into it in the future.
Thank you for a great presentation.